www.thebaptistcommunity.com. All right, as we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus today, I just want to wish you a happy Easter. Now, it's an amazing day, and I realize, of course, that, you know, this is not the exact day that Jesus rose from the dead. On, you know, he didn't rise from the dead necessarily on Sunday, April 16th, 30-something A.D., but we picked this day to celebrate it. And obviously, even though it's Easter, it's tied into a holiday. Some people call it the Resurrection Day rather than Easter, just because Easter implies a whole lot more that's going on. But some of the things that are associated with this day are not necessarily Christian, not necessarily spiritual things, but have a little bit different context, obviously, with Easter, and they all get kind of lumped together. But think about this. We celebrate the birth of Jesus, and we get presents. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, and we get candy. So even though they're all lumped together, I think it's a win-win, right? Like, it kind of works out okay for all of us. Now, I want to share a few non-Easter, non-religious Easter stories with you as we begin. Are you okay with that? Too bad. All right, we're going to do it anyway. So, this man walks into a diner on Easter Sunday to order brunch. He ordered the special. He orders 3 eggs, toast, and bacon. And the waitress asks, well, how do you like your eggs? He thinks for a minute, and then he replies, cream-filled. All right, got a little chuckle. That's good. I actually tried these out on my daughter Megan, and they didn't go well. I'm hoping they go better with you. So, all right. A chocolate bunny walks into a psychiatrist's office. After some introductions, the chocolate bunny sits on the couch. The psychiatrist asks him, well, what seems to be the problem? And the chocolate bunny says, I can't really pinpoint it, but I just feel really hollow inside. Now, I tell that story because I just want to encourage you as parents, stay away from the hollow Easter bunnies. Those are a ripoff for a kid, right? You're paying for a wrapper. There's like no chocolate in the... Go for the solid, just saying. All right, so last one. After Easter service, there's this young boy named Johnny and his family, and they go over to Grandma's house for Easter dinner. They sit down to eat, and Johnny jumps in right away, just eating the food. Well, his mother stops him and says, Johnny, you know that we always say prayers at our house before we eat. And of course, Johnny's first response is, but Mom, we aren't at our house. We're at Grandma's house. And he thinks for another moment, and he said, besides, we really don't need to pray for our food today because Grandma actually knows how to cook. I figured even if the other two bombed, that one would be pretty good. Now, of course, we're not here for any of that. We're not here for colored eggs and candy and family traditions, even family get-togethers. But today we're celebrating the most impactful event in the history of history. Right? Jesus gave his life on a cross, rose again on the third day. He rose from the dead, and when he did that, he showed that he had power over death. And that's an amazing thing, but even more amazing for us is that not only does he have power over death, he has power over the cause of death, which is sin. Because we all fall short of perfection. And yet Jesus offers us a way to receive forgiveness and a way to be made right with a perfect and holy God. And then he gives and offers eternal life to everyone who calls on his name and puts their faith and trust in him. That is clearly something worth celebrating, right? Now, I was reading through the gospel accounts the last week or two, and the resurrection story of Jesus, and reading through them all. And each one of them, of course, gives a little different perspective on what took place. But the readings that you heard earlier, just a few moments ago, were from John's gospel. And the entire story is really pretty amazing. But there was one particular verse that really grabbed my heart over the last week or two as I was preparing for this message. And it might seem a bit unusual, but it's John chapter 20, verse 1, and if you have the notes for this morning, it's at the bottom, but it'll be up on the screen. And here's the verse. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Let me just read that again. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Right, so first glance, not a terribly exciting passage to be focusing on, not a terribly exciting verse for Easter. And I'll admit, it's maybe a little unusual. I mean, there's probably not a whole lot of churches around today that people are shouting amen or preach it when someone reads that verse. There are some verses in the story that have a greater level of excitement for us. You know, there's some angels, we heard about it, angels at the tomb, and they're exclaiming, look, he's not here, he's risen. People give a bunch of amens for something like that. Or we might, Jesus appears to his disciples, they're behind locked doors because they're fearful for their life. They think what's happened to Jesus is about to happen to them. So they are scared, they're terrified, they're afraid, but Jesus just appears out of thin air in their midst, behind locked doors, and says, peace be with you. I mean, that's a passage that I'll preach pretty well on Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday. Another gospel account, you get the disciples walking with Jesus. He just joins them on the road. And they have a great talk. They sit down eventually at the end of the day, and they look to share a meal together, and he breaks the bread, and they finally realize who he is. But right as they realize that, he vanishes before their eyes. I mean, that's an amazing story. And then you hear this verse, and it seems a little bit ho-hum, a little bit boring by comparison. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. This verse is about Mary Magdalene. I mean, it doesn't even mention Jesus' name. I mean, sure, there's the stone in the tomb is mentioned in there, but not Jesus. So why is this verse kind of pounding on your heart this morning, Eric? We'll get there. But I want you to think about this. To understand this verse, we've got to know a little bit, who is this Mary Magdalene? Who was she? Mary was a pretty common name in Jesus' day. Still is today, but it was a very common name in Jesus' day. And there's a number of Marys in the gospel accounts that can easily be confused. There's Mary, the mother of Jesus, first of all. There's Mary, who was the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead. And of course, Mary and Martha had this, there was this quabble over, is it better to serve Jesus or should I be sitting at his feet and listening? So there's that Mary. There is a woman called Mary of Bethany, who's actually from the same kind of hometown as Lazarus and his sisters. And then there's Mary Magdalene. And not a whole lot is known about Mary Magdalene. Some religious traditions consider Mary Magdalene to be the sinful woman, the prostitute, who wept at Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair and anointed him with her perfume. But quite honestly, there's no real biblical or historical evidence to back that up. It's just kind of a tradition. Here's what we do know about Mary Magdalene. And the starting point for her connection with Jesus is pretty amazing. At one point, Jesus casted 7 demons out of Mary Magdalene. Right? That's the starting point. That's the thing we find out about Mary Magdalene. We don't get the story. We don't get to hear what happened, but we hear that it did happen. And then after that, she was one of the women who accompanied Jesus and the disciples as he went around teaching and preaching and doing the ministry and the work that he was up to. We learn that she is only one of 5 of his closest followers who are mentioned as being near the cross when Jesus died. Everyone else fled in fear, but Mary Magdalene was there. She watched him suffer the brutal agony of crucifixion. She watched him die on the cross. And in the other 3 Gospels, we actually learn that she was also there when they laid him in the tomb. So that's Mary Magdalene. And John tells us that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark. I love that phrase. I love that phrase because Mary Magdalene was no stranger to darkness in her life. You think about it, there was darkness in her past. She had 7 demons cast out of her. I mean, I'm not sure what else was going on in her life at the time, but it's hard to imagine a whole lot of good going on when there are 7 demons in you, okay? But Jesus, he rescued her from the darkness of her past. He came along and he set her free. She got her life back when Jesus cast those demons out of her. But she had a darkness in her past. Now, by this point in time in the story that we're picking up that we just read, there's now a darkness in her present. In her present. I mean, think about this. Jesus had shown Mary Magdalene incredible compassion and filled her with hope. She had been accepted into this community of Jesus followers despite everything she had been through. But now all of that was gone because Jesus was gone. Everything she loved, everything that was good about her life at that point in time was over because Jesus was brutally killed on this cross. So she had been rescued from a darkness in her past, but now she was facing a darkness in her present. And not only that, but it was very early in the morning, and it was still dark outside. So literally, she was surrounded by darkness, the darkness of the night. Now, when I read this and consider this about Mary Magdalene, I think we can relate to that. We can definitely relate to her at times in our lives. There's going to be experiences in our life where we are. There's a darkness maybe from our past or in our present, or we're surrounded by darkness. The circumstances around us are so difficult. We might not totally appreciate all that Jesus meant to Mary Magdalene. We don't have the same story, but we can certainly relate to what she probably was feeling. So on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. What's interesting is despite all the darkness she was going through, she came to the tomb early on the first day of the week. Now, she couldn't have gone the day after Jesus had died. That was the Sabbath. It was a day of rest, and that would have been forbidden. But on the third day, which was the first day of the week, the first chance she got, she made her way to Jesus. First opportunity, or at least where she expected him to be. And I think about that, and I think, how often is it that we experience a darkness in our life or there's something we're going through, and we turn to everything but Jesus first? And yet, Mary Magdalene, it's one of the first things, it's the first thing she does. And then John tells us that when she gets there, she finds that the stone had been taken away. Now, that's an amazing thing right there, but remember, Mary doesn't really understand what happened. She doesn't know that Jesus is alive at that point in time. But when she sees this stone moved away from the tomb, it sets off a chain of events that is kind of filled with chaos and confusion. So she hurries to tell the disciples that someone had moved Jesus' body. And then they run to the tomb and they look to see it for themselves, she with them. And when they see it, when they see the empty tomb, the scriptures say, well, they believe. Now, that doesn't mean they believed Jesus was alive, because the scriptures also tell us, as yet they did not understand the scriptures that he must rise from the dead. They just simply believed that Mary's story, that someone had moved the body, was true. And then once the disciples see this, that Jesus isn't there, they just shrug their shoulders and go home. Right? That's nothing more to see here. They just take off. But not Mary Magdalene. She stood near the tomb weeping. Right? She didn't know what had happened to Jesus. She didn't know where Jesus' body was, but she was not leaving that place until she found out what happened. You ever know how there are certain times in your life where maybe there's a place that you've been that brings back all kinds of memories? You have some memories there. And sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. Like, they might be a painful memory. Like, you know, you don't want to go back to that restaurant because that's where so-and-so 20 years ago broke up with you, and that's a painful memory. Or, you know, never going to that restaurant again. Sometimes they're joyful, right? You drive by your grade school or a park or a playground and something, and you think back to some really fun childhood memories, some really fun moments as a kid. It, just that place brings everything flooding back for you. Well, why did Mary stay there? Well, this was the last place she had seen Jesus. Right? Her last memory of him was him lying in the tomb a few days earlier. And it wasn't like some distant memory that all came flooding back. This was just a few days earlier. It was fresh in her mind. This is where she last saw him, so she wasn't moving until she figured out what happened. And I love how relentlessly Mary Magdalene is pursuing Jesus throughout this whole story. So she's standing at the tomb, she's weeping, and then things get really kind of crazy, right? A couple of angels, they appear, and they ask her why she's weeping. And she just says, oh, they took his body and I don't know where. Not like, holy cow, angels! Right? Just, oh, they took his body, I don't know where. She didn't even realize they were angels, right? Because she's so overwhelmed by the sorrow and confusion and Jesus not being there. So they must have had a really good giggle when Jesus shows up a moment later. And she doesn't recognize him either. Right? Jesus asks her, why are you weeping? He's right there, but she doesn't recognize him. She thinks it's just the gardener. She tells him that she's looking for Jesus' body. She tells the risen Jesus that she's looking for Jesus' body. Not going to work. It's ironic, isn't it? So you got to imagine Jesus smiles and nods his head, shakes his head like, it's not in there, but probably should be. Not in this story. But then when he calls her name Mary, she recognizes and realizes who it is. So right there in the middle of all this darkness for her, Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. He meets her right there at the tomb. And then all that darkness, all that she had faced, it's gone. Right? In an instant, she went from despair to hope. Just like that. In an instant, she went from knowing the bitter sting of death to experiencing the most amazing joy in the resurrection of Jesus. In an instant. So this verse, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Now, ultimately, the story of the resurrection is Jesus, right? Jesus rose from the dead, power over death, victory over sin. It's not really about Mary Magdalene, not completely. It's about Jesus. But it's not just about Jesus. And that's the thing I think that we want to see this morning. The resurrection of Jesus didn't happen in a vacuum, right? It wasn't some isolated event that was totally separate from what was going on in humanity. It took place among living, breathing people, people like the disciples, people like Mary Magdalene. And because she was in this story, what we get to see is this. Because she went looking for Jesus, she experienced the awesome power of God. Because she went looking for Jesus, she experienced the awesome power of God. She discovered for herself that the reason that the stone had been moved was because God raised Jesus from the dead. And he was the one who moved it. She discovered that God moves stones. And I wanted us to see this in this passage this morning because the gospel message, the hope of Jesus, the power of God that we see in the resurrection story, these are things that God wants us to experience in our own lives, for ourselves, just like Mary Magdalene did. He wants us to know that he can shine light into our darkness. He wants us to know that he moves stones. But here's the thing. We can experience that. We can experience the hope of Jesus or the power of God unless we chase after him like Mary did. Right? It doesn't just happen. But when we pursue God, we have the opportunity to experience that. We can't experience the hope of Jesus or the power of God unless we chase after him like Mary did. She was relentless in her pursuit of Jesus. She wanted to be with him no matter what. No matter what. We need to do the same. Now, the question that I want us to ask this morning, I want you to ask yourself this morning is, what is your stone? What is that stone that in your life that you want God to move? What is your stone? Is there a darkness in your past? Maybe it has to do with the darkness of your past. Maybe you made a mistake, or you have some regrets that are have gotten a hold of you. Maybe it's something tragic that's happened to you and it's strangling your heart. You know, like Otis in his illustration today, we're fragile people, we're broken people. And maybe there's a darkness in our past that is kind of haunting us. Is there someone who's wounded you and it hasn't been resolved? Or have you wounded someone else and things haven't been set right? Right? Is there a darkness in your past? Are you experiencing a darkness right now in your present? Right? Maybe it's your relationship with someone. Maybe it's with a mom or a dad. Maybe it's with your kids. Maybe it's in your marriage. Right? Is there a relationship that you feel like is too far gone? It's dead and in the grave, and nothing's going to happen unless God resurrects it and brings it back to life. Maybe it's not a relationship with another person, but maybe it's actually your relationship with God that's at stake. That presently, there's a lot of darkness in your life because there's nothing going on with Him. You've been running from Him for a while now. You've been avoiding something that you know He wants you to do. You're hanging on to something you know He wants you to let go of. And it's causing a darkness in your life, a spiritual darkness. Maybe it's not a darkness in the present in that sense, but maybe it's that you're surrounded by darkness, right? Like Mary Magdalene, there was darkness all around her. It didn't even have to do that much with her. It's just where she was at. Maybe you've experienced the loss of a loved one or the death of a friendship. Maybe it's your physical health. Maybe it's your emotional health in ways that you can't seem to do anything about that. Maybe it's your financial situation. Or maybe it's even bigger than that. Maybe it's not even about you, but you just take a look at the darkness going on in the world around you. Right? There's injustice and poverty and natural disaster and terrorism and homelessness and hopelessness all around you. And you see that darkness, and it just burdens your heart for God to do something about that. Or maybe it's the people you know in your life who are still walking in a spiritual darkness because they've not experienced the love of Jesus for themselves. So what's the stone in your life that you need God to move today? And I will say this, that maybe for some of you this morning, the darkness is this. There is nothing going on spiritually in your life between you and Jesus. You've never taken that step of faith and put your trust in Him. The Scripture says that until we do that, we are spiritually dead. But when we surrender our life to God, to Jesus, God makes us spiritually alive. He brings us life, calls us out of the grave, and rescues us. And this morning, maybe for you, you're saying, look, I don't want to be spiritually dead anymore. I want God to give me new life, to call me out of that grave too. That's the stone I need Him to move. And I'll just say, as a way of acknowledging that, you know, in your notes, there's a little box on the bottom of your visitor card that just says, look, today I put my faith and trust in Christ for the first time. Or maybe you feel like He's calling you back to Him. There's another box that just says that, look, I'm recommitting my life to following Him this morning. That's the stone that I need Him to move. Now, as I mentioned those things, I'm sure there's a thing or two that comes to mind for you. It might not have anything to do with anything I mentioned, but most likely there's something on your heart this morning that's a stone that you need God to move in your life, something big you need Him to do. Would you go ahead and just write that down in that space in your notes? Just jot it down as a way of identifying it and putting it on paper that says, God, this is the stone I need You to move. This is how I need You to work. This is what I want to ask You to work in my life. Because today we want to call on the God who raised Jesus from the dead, the God who moves stones, and ask Him to do something powerful in our life. Now, I will say this. I know that a lot of times we have doubts about this. Right? Sure, we believe God can do incredible things. We know He can. We just aren't sure He actually will. Right? Maybe we've even prayed about this area that's on our heart, like, oh, one more time, I'm praying about this area, and I don't even know if God hears me anymore. He does. Now, we might not see this happening. We've given up on the idea that God might want to do a miracle or something big in our lives. And because of that, the darkness that we're facing, it actually feels even bigger than that stone that was in front of the tomb. Look, there were a lot of doubts at the resurrection. Thomas doubted. Said, look, unless I can put my hands in his side and in his wounds, in his hands, unless I can feel the wounds of Jesus, I'm not going to believe. The disciples, when they heard about Jesus being raised from the dead, they couldn't believe it. Jesus even rebuked his followers and said, why did you not believe? So it's not unusual to have doubt. We see it all throughout the resurrection story. But God is bigger than even any of our doubts. So if you feel like this area of your life is dead and in the grave, please remember this morning and hear this loud and clear. God can bring it back to life again. He can take what is dead in you or in your life and bring it back to life. God raised Jesus from the dead. He can do anything because our God moves stones. Now, in a moment, I'm going to just invite you to come on up while we're playing and to simply take a stone from one of the baskets. There's a couple baskets here. There's a few in the back. Just as an object you can take with you this morning to remind you that this represents a stone that you need God to move in your life. And you're taking it with you and putting it someplace where you will see it, that you will remember, I am going to God with this, and I'm asking him to move this stone in my life, whatever it is. You can put it maybe on the nightstand next to your bed as you go to sleep. You can remember to pray for that. Maybe you put it somewhere else. I don't know what works for you. But just as a reminder that our God moves stones, and this area in your life, he can do something about. So I'll ask you to come and do that in a moment. But as we close, I want to also say this. I know it's possible that God might not work exactly how we're asking him to. He might not fix that thing completely. He may not fix it right away. Or he may not fix it at all. So we might find ourselves still in a lot of darkness in our life. But here's the amazing thing about going to God with what it is we need. Even if he doesn't, here's the cool thing. When you pursue Jesus with everything you are, like Mary Magdalene did, even if he doesn't answer the way that you wanted him to, you still get Jesus. You still get Jesus. He is with you. And he will be enough to get you through whatever that darkness is. I'm going to close this in prayer, and then I invite you to come take a stone and take it back to your seat, and we'll continue in worship. Father God, this morning we believe you are a God who can move stones. And sometimes those stones seem like small things in our lives, but sometimes there are some really big ones. And sometimes the darkness that we're facing seems overwhelming. Maybe as we look around, we see darkness that we need you to overcome, but we believe that you can do that. And we're calling out to you because you are the God who raised Jesus from the dead. We have the hope of Jesus. We know that you are a powerful God who raised him from the dead and who can do anything. You can move this stone in our life. And so we want to offer it to you this morning, and we ask you to move. We ask you to move in powerful ways in our life. And God, when we doubt, when we're uncertain, when we're not sure that you can come through, help us to trust you in our darkness. Help us to continue to pursue you relentlessly like Mary Magdalene did, because regardless of whether you fix this darkness in our life or not, we know we'll have you, and that will be enough. So God, we commit these things, these areas of our lives to you this morning. We lift them before you in the name of Jesus. We ask you to move. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.